You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show, and for those of you joining us for the very first time, welcome. We're glad to have you. I haven't said anything about this in actually a few days, but I need to remind everyone and to inform those who are first-time listeners, about our free weekly newsletter. Now, the reason is because today's the day. We'll begin after the show tonight sending out the free weekly newsletter to those who are subscribed. And so if you're not subscribed, you still have time right now. It's free. It really is. There's no hidden agenda. There's no ulterior motive. It's just our free newsletter. If you want it, go to kevinsmithshow.com. Click where you'll see K-Files e-zine. All right, the K-Files e-zine. Click on that, subscribe, and you're in. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. I've gotten a couple of emails lately from people who said, I might be willing to join the members area if I knew more about what's in there. And, of course, I talk about what's in there all the time. But some folks don't listen, or they miss that part of the show. So what we've done, if you're not a member and you want to see, well, what's in that members area, you can just click where it says on the menu, on my main page, click where it says become a member, and it'll take you to a page immediately that shows you what is in the members area, all right? Just because you click on that doesn't mean you have to join. It just takes you to a page that shows you what's in the members area. So be sure you check that out. And I guess it was a good idea. We try to respond when people send us suggestions. We try to respond to those suggestions if we can. And so we responded to that one. And already we have more people joining. So if you want to become a member and get the inside scoop on everything, that's what you need to take a look at. I mentioned Dick Criswell yesterday, and I told you that I had talked with him on the telephone. And I talked with him again today on the telephone. Yesterday on the show, I shared with you his telephone number so that you could call and wish him well and tell him that you're pulling for him, you're praying for him, you're thinking about him, or whatever it is you do. And he told me today that he had had a ton of phone calls. But I want to give you the number again. Because, Dick Criswell has really done a whole lot for the field of UFO investigation. The telephone number is 317-415-8501. 317-415-8501. That will ring in his hospital room, and you'll have a chance to talk with him. And please don't call right now. It's very late there. But tomorrow sometime you may want to give him a call and give him all your best wishes and best hopes. As I said, he's done a lot for the world of UFO investigation. All right, we'll be back after this with a big debate that's blowing hot and cold. My guest this evening is Dick Criswell.
Oh, my.
There's a little bit of a blurb about
it. Yeah, well, you know,
let's get that fixed. All right. As I said, we're going to be talking about there's a big, big debate that's raging, and it is blowing hot and cold. We've talked about this on the show before. We have other things that we will cover tonight if we have time. But I've gotten some more information that adds really to the body of knowledge. And that's this big debate of global warming. Now, on this show, we do talk about UFOs a lot. We talk about Chupacabra. We talk about Bigfoot. We talk about ghosts. We talk about Mars. We talk about Saturn and the moon. But one of the things that we focus on this show is futuristic science. I suppose there's not anything more futuristic than trying to decipher all of the stuff that gets written about the future of this planet itself. I think there are people that have their heads in the sand, and they haven't given any thought whatsoever to what we are doing on this planet, and is it having any effect on this planet? Then there are people who have really taken a good hard look at it and have decided that the planet is undergoing global warming. There are other folks that have taken a good hard look at it, and they say the data doesn't support that. In fact, the planet is cooling. And so, you know, we kind of get stuck here, you and I, who are not climatologists, although I realize that I probably am speaking to a number of climatologists who are listening to the show or watching the show. The rest of us, though, get sort of caught here in the middle. And, you know, we're sort of like, which way is the correct way? I mean, which is the planet warming, or is the planet cooling, or is the planet just doing nothing? The United Nations released a report. It is called the IPCC report on the future climate of this planet. That report has over 2,000 scientists that signed on to it and said, this is right. Well, another report came out last year. It might have been earlier this year. I think it was. It was earlier this year. And this report had over 30,000 scientists. 9,000 of them had PhDs, just over 9,000 have PhDs. And a great, great many of those are climatologists. And their report said that the IPCC report was flawed. It used flawed data. and in some cases was just fictional. And I have tried to get to the bottom of this. I think it's an important issue. I think you and I ought to know what's happening on the planet. Now, you might say, well, there's nothing we can do about it. I agree that there's nothing that Kevin Smith can do that is going to have a planet-wide impact all by itself. I understand that. But if the data supports the idea that we collectively, we people on this planet, are doing something that is causing this planet to go through global warming, and that catastrophe is coming as a result of our actions, two things become very real very quick. First of all, if we caused it, we can stop it. Secondly, if we caused it and we can stop it, you can bet that political planners are going to get in your pocket to make those changes happen. It doesn't come free. You might think it comes free. It doesn't come free. We're seeing right now in this current economic spiral downward, we are seeing that when one big company collapses, it has a domino effect throughout the economy. And as each domino falls, it has its own domino effect. And so it's not just a straight line. It spreads. It goes in every direction, and dominoes just start falling. The reason that's important is because you have to understand that once really serious draconian measures are taken, in support of the IPCC, in support of that data, this is the set of data upon which rests the Al Gore movie, An Inconvenient Truth. Once draconian measures are taken, there will be ripple effects through the economy. And if you think this spiral downward looks tough, wait till you see that one. On the other hand, if there is, in fact, global cooling and we are headed toward another ice age and draconian measures are taken to get us ready for that, we will have the same downward spiral ripple effect through our economy. So, I mean, either way it goes, this is going to get into your pocket. Either way. So since it's going to get into your pocket, and here is why I think we should take a look at this, since this is going to get into your pocket one way or the other, I think we ought to be preparing in the right direction. I don't know what the real price tag will be. There will be a massive price tag. But whatever that price tag is, we'll call it price tag X. Whatever X equals, since it's going to come out of our pockets, I think we ought to be headed the right direction. And if we spend X, which represents multiple trillions of dollars, if we spend X getting all ready for global warming and then an ice age hits, I'm not going to be happy about it, are you? If we spend price tag X, multiple trillions of dollars, and we prepare for an ice age, and then global warming hits, I am not going to be happy about that either. So I want you to understand that while I do have an opinion about which side of this is correct, I don't have any agenda in terms of trying to sway you one way or the other, except to ask, to sway you to look at the data instead of the movies. If you look at the data, it's a little confusing. The data, first of all, let me give you some of the data, all right? And we're going, I'll open the phone line and we'll in a minute and we'll talk about this. But let me give you some of the data. Now, first of all, where does this notion of global warming come from? Does it come from the data or somewhere else? Well, it actually comes from somewhere else. The notion that we are in a phase of global warming, or that we're into global warming and we're all just going to burn up, that notion comes from computer modeling. Doesn't come from the data. It comes from computer modeling. And the modeling, even if that modeling was properly done, is showing something quite different from what we are actually measuring with thermometers. That's kind of amazing, but it's the case. Sometimes NASA predicts that they're going to encounter certain things in a space mission, and they try to prepare for those things. But then what they encounter in actuality doesn't fit the model they had run. We have models of planet formation. They run these models on computers and they show, well, that's how planets are formed. And then they look through Hubble telescope and they see planets forming that don't fit that model. And that happens frequently. And they have to rewrite the model. Well, the computer modeling definitely shows global warming. The computer, or at least the modeling that's been done and made public, shows global warming. Rather dramatic. But the actual data, in other words, the actual temperatures here in the real world, not in the computer, but the actual temperatures here in the real world, don't fit that model. Reality doesn't fit the computer models. It's doing something different than what the computers predict. For instance, are you aware of the fact that we were supposed to start this new solar cycle and did, and it was supposed to be, it's an 11-year cycle, and it was supposed to be really a rip-snorting cycle. It was really supposed to, we were supposed to have solar flares like we have never seen before, and the global warming was really, really, really going to get tough. Well, since January of 2008, we have found from actual temperature measurements that this is the greatest year-to-year temperature drop ever. Well, actually, when we say ever, we're talking about 128 years of NASA GISS data. So there's 128 years of data where we've actually been measuring temperatures around the world. 128 years of data. And in that 128 years, we have just had worldwide the greatest single drop in temperature when going from one year to the next. Does that sound like global warming? Well, you might say, well, yeah, but you know, that's just one year and we're not even finished with the year. Well, yeah, but you see, the thing is, the temperatures on this planet have been cooling ever so slightly since 1930. Each year, the average temperature is down a little bit. Now, that's not exactly a true statement. It's better to say that since 1930 till now, the average temperature has been dropping. There have been a couple of years where it spiked and then went back down. But one of the things that's interesting about this is that we are in, the Earth has been a lot hotter in years gone by. So we're not headed into something the Earth hasn't seen before. During the time of the dinosaurs, which would be the mid-Cretaceous period, the temperatures were much higher than they are now. And then you had a warming period between two ice ages, just about 125,000 years ago. And the temperatures were a lot higher then, and sea levels were higher, about 13 to 20 feet higher, depending on where around the world. So this is not, you know, we watch the movie and we listen to the politicians, who, of course, are real meteorological experts. And we get this panic. We get this panic that, geez, the Earth is going to burn up and we're causing it. But when we look at the actual data that's coming out from, you know, actual meteorological, climatological scientists, it does not match what the computer models said. The computer models, therefore, are wrong. See, the computer models predicted that we would be in this horrific solar cycle right now. And all the satellite companies, you know, the ones that have commercial satellites, they were all getting ready for this solar cycle. They were all, I read the news in that industry because we're in radio, right? And so I keep track of what's going on in that industry. Well, they were all getting ready for, you know, well, we'll have to turn the satellites this way. We'll have to be able to do this. We'll have to be able to do that. And so they were all planning for this horrific solar cycle, and that hasn't happened. Now, it may still, but so far the sun is quiet, and we're not having these mega solar flares and coronal mass ejections and all that was predicted. The computer models were wrong. And the same thing appears to be the case with the computer models when it comes to this issue of the climate. Now, the Russian scientists long ago said that global warming or cooling is more a function of orbital mechanics than anything else. And back in the 1970s, they were saying, we're headed into an ice age, folks. Get ready for it. And I remember living through those times. I think a lot of you do. A lot of you remember when that was coming out on the covers of magazines, that we may be headed into another ice age. But then that sort of got overtaken by the sky is falling and it's raining fire, global warming, alarmists. Not all people who believe in global warming are alarmists. But listen to what I said. What the Russian scientists were telling us got overrun by the alarmists. And the alarmists grabbed the headlines. And in the 1990s and early in 2000s, the alarmists were in charge of that whole discussion. But, you know, today they don't even talk about global warming. They talk about climate change. And we'll talk about that when we come back. My guest is Dick Criswell, and we are talking about his
work. Well, I'll tell you what. I had someone that was supposed to clean that out. Crazy things happening with the software. All right. I said that before we took the break, I said that we hardly ever hear anyone talking, any big proponents of global warming anymore. They're talking about climate change, climate change. They've changed the wording, and they're not honest enough to tell you that. I mean, they will not draw attention to that fact other than they talk about climate change. And the reason is, regardless of anything else anybody tells you, look at the timing of what's happened. When this report came out with the 30,000 scientists signed on to it, when this report came out, all of a sudden the conversation changed from global warming to climate change. And the reason is they have looked at the data. They cannot argue against the scientists that have signed on to this. They can say, well, we just don't believe it. But then, you know, on the IPCC side, they have all these charts and graphs generated by computer models. Guesses. On the side of the 30,000, there's actual measurement and data. It's hard to argue against the actual measurement and data. The temperature change, if you allow for the years where the temperature spiked up a little bit, the total temperature change is something like 0.3 degrees Celsius. 0.3, not 3 degrees, 0.3 degrees. I'm sorry about that. It's not true. It's 0.3%, 0.3%. 0.3% difference when you allow for the those spikes. But the trend is ever downward. And with the trend being ever downward, it would seem quite obvious that what's going on is, in fact, a cooling trend. It's not dramatic, but it's been fairly level, but slightly cooling. That's been the trend. Just because that's been the trend, and here's where the debate is. See, some of you are scratching your head and saying, okay, look, Smith, if the data says that we're in a cooling trend, then all this global warming stuff is hooey. Not exactly. And that's where the debate is. I'll explain. You see, the computer models have really been proven to be wrong because they predict what should be going on by this time and then by next year and by next year. And they project it out into the future. And they're wrong. There's just no two ways about it. They're wrong. It's not an opinion. It's a thermometer. The data shows those models are wrong. And the data shows a cooling trend. But here's the question. Just because there is this trend does not mean that it will continue. We were in this cooling trend back in the 70s, and then the temperature spiked a little. A couple of years there, it spiked, moved up, and then it started back down. So is there a possibility that what could happen would be that we're in this cooling trend, and then it spikes, 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 maybe cools a little, spikes, but trends upward? I mean, is that a possibility? Now, on my website, I put this question. I said, by the way, what's up with the other planets? Well, the other planets are experiencing global warming. The other planets are experiencing global warming. Mars is experiencing global warming four times faster than what we thought we were experiencing here on Earth based on those computer models. Four times what the computer models said. Mars is warming. All the way out to Pluto, the planets are heating up. Oh, I know they decided Pluto wasn't a planet, but I mean that's the same group that told us the Earth was flat. So all the way out to Pluto, the planets are warming up. And I've asked on this show before, what's causing that? Now, one of the things about this show, if you're new to this show, you need to know this. You need to know that I don't expect you to agree with me. What I expect is for us to think together and talk together. All right? So I know that there are people who will disagree with this statement. I've made it before, and people write to me and tell me they disagree with it, but people also agree with it. And I'm not running for politics. I'm not running for any office. I'm not trying to be your priest, your preacher, and I haven't asked you to marry me. All right? You're entitled to your opinions, and I'm entitled to mine. But it seems to me that there must be something big that is putting pressure, exerting force on this solar system. I don't know that it's planet Nibiru, or some people call it planet X. I don't know that. It could be something else, but there seems to be some kind of solar system-wide force being exerted on every body, every planet and moon in this solar system, because every planet is heating up. And, you know, Saturn's doing weird stuff. We've got a hexagon right on the north pole of Saturn, a perfect hexagon right on the north pole, and nobody knows why. And then, oh, I know, I've read all the speculations, and I've read an excellent article, actually, by Richard Hoagland on hyperdimensional physics, and all that may be true, but nobody knows for sure. It is theory. And now it's got a strange aurora that they've never seen one like this before anywhere. Weird things are happening all over the solar system. It seems to me that there must be something exerting huge pressure, huge force on our solar system. You won't find any planet in the solar system that's not showing signs of rather dramatic change. Every planet in the solar system, they're showing signs of rather dramatic change. And that includes this one. Is this a cycle that we go through? And if it is it a cycle that we have a record of humans having lived through? Because that would tell us something about whether we're going to make it or not, and I suspect we are. But I'd like for you to join the conversation. I've presented to you the information that has come to me, and now I would dearly like and enjoy hearing what you think about this. And the telephone number is 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Well, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hello, Kevin.
Yeah, I made it through the first time, finally, on Open Line Live. I was had a couple of them beat me to the punch the last couple Open Line nights, but finally did it.
Well, it's not quite Open Line. We got a topic.
Yeah, we got the topic of the global warming. And let me just say, I take global warming, and I put it alongside, I put it in the same category as Y2K and other events, so to say. Now, that's not to say that they're not going through a warming period, but I think they have been overly exaggerating it, and for very good reason.
Now, what's the very good reason?
Well, it's called create a problem and then offer a solution to fix it at a price. The price being liberties or this carbon tax that they're going to come out with, you know, just to get more control and, you know, use more fear and control over the people. I think that's what it's all about.
All right, but now in the face of this data that shows actual cooling, do you think they'll try the same thing with that if it becomes the theory du jour?
Well, I think nowadays it's not about what's real or what's not. I think what it is about today is whatever the dumb people will believe everything that's on the 6 o'clock news, just whether it's true or not. Because we all know when they talk about UFOs or alien life on the 6 o'clock news, it's not really truthful. You know what I mean? So I'm pretty much not going to. I know you and I both hate this word. The word believe. I'm not going to believe anything that's on the mainstream media about it. But I'm going to keep an eye on the scientists when it comes to the global cooling, global warming. I just think it's, you know, the temperature goes up and down. It does so all the time, and, you know, but I just think that those who have a certain interest, they tend to exaggerate these things for their own personal gains and personal goals, and that's what I think it's about.
Well, let me ask you this. I sort of tend to believe that everything swings like a pendulum, including the climate. And if you stop and think about it, our entire lives have been lived in the part of the pendulum swing that is global warming. Our entire lives have been, because that's what ended the last ice age.
Yeah, well,
let me put it this way. On both ends of global warming is an ice age. It takes global warming to end the ice age. So global warming, I think, is a natural swing of the pendulum. And, you know, we get through it, and things begin to cool off, and then the pendulum begins to swing back the other way. And we come back through some global warming, the ice age ends, and we are in that warming trend for a long time, and then we get up into the other end of the pendulum swing where there's another ice age. I really kind of think that's what happens, but I may be all wet.
I wonder what causes global warming. I wonder what causes it. Is it solar flares or and lack thereof?
Well, I'll tell you what, we're into a break, and when we come back, I'll tell you what this research paper says. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. What causes climate change? What causes global warming or cooling? You know, that's a big, big, big debate. During the mid-Cretaceous period, CO2 levels were 2 to 4 times greater than today. And it was hot. One of the things that the data does not show, now look at this is important. I'll tell you what the data doesn't show in a second. This is important. In the mid-Cretaceous period, this is when dinosaurs were around. Now, a lot of scientists say that dinosaurs lived 65 million years ago. That's when they died out. They lived prior to 65 million years ago. And they say we humans were not around at that time, although there are fossilized footprints from that period of time that appear to be human. But let's just say that there were no humans. Even if there were, there was no industrial age, no cars, no factories, and the CO2 levels were 2 to 4 times higher than they are today. This is one of the reasons, folks, I have a hard time buying the idea that we are creating global warming. Let's just, for the sake of argument, assume that global warming is happening. Well, how do you account for 2 to 4 times more CO2 when scientists say there weren't any humans? One of the things the data does not show is whether the warming is caused by an increase of CO2 or whether the warming causes the increase of CO2. Now, there's a pretty big body of scientists who have the theory that the CO2 rises because of warming. Now, here's why. Do you know what is the largest filter, the largest trap for CO2 on this planet? It's the oceans. The oceans absorb CO2 in massive quantities, and it sinks to the bottom of the ocean, where it sort of, it's not actually frozen, but it sort of congeals. And, well, in some cases, it's frozen in some parts of the planet. It's frozen. If you have a sudden release of hot gases, and, for instance, an underwater volcano that suddenly heats up that CO2 that's around it, it becomes a gas again, and it rises to the surface and is released into the air. And so the warming in that case has increased the CO2 content in the air. Volcanic activity under the oceans is at an all-time high right now. And we've had Robert Felix on the show talking about this. We've had Robert Felix on here. He's the author of the book that is entitled Not by Fire, but by Ice. We've had him on here talking about that, and he's talked about this process whereby the volcanic activity under the ocean is heating up things under the ocean, and it's causing a release of CO2, and that the CO2 content in the air is increasing as a result of the warming. But it's not global warming, it's ocean warming. And it's happening under the sea. Now, I've opened up the telephone line again, and let me get the telephone number up on your screen for those of you who are watching Internet TV. The telephone number is area code 602-539-9580. But see, when we look at the whole picture here, we've got to look at not just the IPCC report, and, well, there were 2,000 scientists that signed on to that. So what? We can't just look at the other report and say, well, there were 30,000 scientists that signed on to that. So what? How many is not what's important. Whose data is correct is what's important. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, interesting topic tonight, a topic that affects everybody eventually, or at least their offspring.
Yeah.
I just had two things, I guess. The first one was I have to agree with you about the pendulum swing. I think it can take up to 1,000 years for an ice age to hit, or, sometimes it can take a long time, and I think it goes back and forth. and like a pendulum, it can't just stay one way, it swings the other. The second thing was, for the people that don't think that there's any type of warming going on, then Antarctica wouldn't be completely melting, and there wouldn't be those Eskimos in Alaska on rocks saying...
Okay, well, that's not Antarctica, that's the Arctic.
The Arctic, I mean.
Yeah. That, and you've just pointed out something that is very interesting. One of the things that's happening is that there is warming happening in the northern hemispheres, but there is cooling, dramatic cooling, happening in the southern hemisphere, and the ice in the southern hemisphere is, although redistributing to different places, it's growing.
Very interesting. I didn't realize the difference between those two areas.
Yeah. And see, this is why Robert Felix says he absolutely does not believe in global warming. It is warming in the northern hemisphere, but in the southern hemisphere, all over the planet, it's cooling.
Oh, that's very interesting. I'm going to definitely listen to the rest of the show. My only last thing was to attest to the fact that it's heating up at least towards the Arctic.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some specials, and everyone's always watching the History and Discovery channels and Science channels because those are a lot of fun. It's like you can sit in your room and watch history happening and major things. But I remember just seeing an Alaskan Eskimo out there on the side where he usually hunts, you know, by the ocean, and he's standing on a bunch of rock, and he says, "I don't know what to do. This is the first time in all of our lifetimes that I've ever known out of anybody that this rock has been exposed. Things are simply melting." Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. Yeah. Climate change is happening. See, and that's why I said this is an important thing for us to kind of put our heads together and think about here. The data that we usually get fed, we're being fed that data by mass media. You have to understand that in the United States of America, the media is pretty much centered on the United States. In other words, they present it from the point of view of the United States geographically. In Europe, they do it from the perspective of Europe. But this is a whole big world, and you know, there's a whole bunch of countries down in the southern hemisphere. Lots of countries in the southern hemisphere. And what we're experiencing in the northern hemisphere doesn't track with what they're experiencing in the southern hemisphere. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from? Hello, caller. Well, I guess we lost the caller. 602-539-9580, 602-539-9580, and we'll be happy to take your call. This is not a subject that we need to respond to emotionally. We really don't. This is about to cost us the bank. It's either going to cost us the bank to prepare for global warming, or it's going to cost us the bank to prepare for global cooling. And since it's going to cost us, I think we ought to have a grip on which one we ought to be preparing for here. Is it warming or is it cooling? And, you know, I was saying in the northern hemisphere, we have experienced warming. However, the overall trend has been cooling. What's happened is a weather shift. Places that didn't used to be warm are warm now. Places that didn't used to be cold are under the snow now. There's been a shift in the weather patterns. And it's likely to shift quite a bit more before it's over. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Trey in Lincoln Parish.
Hi, Trey.
Hey, Kevin. I believe when you had your not by fire but by ice guy on the first time, he mentioned that 90-something percent was it of the world's glaciers have increased, and he said something about the ice sheets were increasing, and that, you know, even though you might have, you know, a small percentage of glaciers melting because of underwater volcanoes that, but wasn't it glaciers, he said, that it was, you know.
Yeah, there are glaciers. He talked about glaciers that are increasing so fast they put up warning signs. Be careful, the ice is moving. Hey, Trey, we're into a break. You want to hold?
Yeah, sure.
All right, we'll be back right after this, folks. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking this evening about what I think is really a very, very serious issue for anyone on the planet. But I think especially for us, for this audience, this is a serious issue because we deal with the strange and unexplained. That's what we're interested in. And I don't know anything more strange and unexplained than this great divide happening over climatology, and it's about to cost us money, a lot of money. On the line is one of our listeners in Louisiana, Trey. So, Trey, we had to cut you off right as you were making a statement. I want to give you a chance to finish.
Okay, well, I was just mentioning that about the percentage of glaciers that increased and everything, and that, you know, that, like you mentioned, the sea temperature. Yeah, the sea temperature going up, and then you have, he said that the precipitation was causing the glaciers to increase and the Arctic ice sheets to increase. And so, and also...
Well, the Antarctic ice sheets.
Antarctic ice sheets were increasing, okay. And what Bob mentioned was all these shows on the Science Channel and so on and so forth. I noticed a lot of these start off from the point that we're causing it, and or they end up that way at the end of the show. And so you're going to see only certain pictures. If they're going to go show you a picture of a glacier melting, falling into the ocean, but they're not going to give you any figures on the percentage of number of glaciers that are increasing in size. So you kind of got to watch out for some of those size shows.
Well, that's true. Most of those shows have a political agenda. Now, there are people, let me just go over this. I know you were listening the night that we talked about Al Gore's movie, but there are people that have joined us tonight for the first time. And you got to understand, I am the least political individual you will ever meet. I am not political. I have no political agenda. When Al Gore stepped onto the stage and they turned the cameras on, that's not the vice president. That's Al Gore, the movie star. And that movie was being shown in all the schools over in Britain, and there was a family that brought a lawsuit against it and said that this was not a movie based on science, but it was based on a political agenda. It went to court, and both sides presented their scientific experts in support of or not in support of the movie. And at the end, the court ruled that this movie was, at its base, at its core, a political agenda. And the court ruled, in their ruling, they listed 10 major factual errors from a scientific point of view in the movie. And they banned that movie from being shown to the school children unless the school also showed them a movie that presented the other side, because it was a political agenda. Now, tonight we're talking about the data that underlies the movie, and we're talking about the data that says that data is wrong. I think a lot of people, all they know, Trey, about global warming, or now they call it climate change because the data kicked them in the teeth. All they know about it is they saw Al Gore's movie, and by golly, if Al said it, it's right. Well, it's not right just because Al said it. I don't dislike Al Gore. That's not the issue. The issue is it's presenting the computer modeling. And we now have data that shows that that computer modeling is inaccurate. It does not match the thermometers out around the planet. So I think you're right. I think those TV shows kind of have a political agenda.
And one other thing goes right with what you just mentioned. A buddy of mine, I asked him about a year ago, I said, did you know that everything in our solar system was heating up? And he said Jim Lehrer hadn't talked about that. And I go, okay. So, you know, he got his news from Jim Lehrer. And so if Jim Lehrer didn't mention it in his 30-minute or hour show, whatever it is, this guy wasn't going to find out about it. So if you don't know that everything is heating up in our solar system, there's no way you can, you know, look beyond the news reports and everything else saying that we're doing it. And everything,
well, and
everything,
see,
says we're doing it is what it is.
What your buddy is doing there, it would be the same as saying, if someone asked you, hey, did you know there was a terrorist attack in Mumbai? And you said, well, Kevin Smith didn't say anything about it. Of course I didn't. That's not what we talk about. And, you know, Jim Lehrer doesn't talk about science.
Well, you know, I don't know.
So,
but, you know, that would be almost human interest, too, because, you know, everything heating up in our solar system. But, you know, you're right. That isn't the topics they cover. And to expect, you know, just to get your news from one spot like that. And but, you know, hey, you know, it's a lot of ignorance out there. And just be glad the Kevin Smith Show isn't that ignorant.
Well, thank you.
And the audience, I mean.
All right. Thanks for the call, man. All right, folks, the telephone number is 602-539-9580, 602-539-9580. The telephone line is open. I'd like to know what you think about this. This is about to cost you and me and people in Europe. When I say you and me, I'm, of course, talking about me and all the rest of you sitting here in the United States. It's about to cost us buku money. All you folks listening to the show in Canada, it's about to cost you. All across Europe, it's about to cost you. The question is, I mean, either way this goes, it's going to cost us. The politicians are going to spend the money. But if they're going to spend it, don't you think they ought to spend it, headed in the right direction with it? I mean, I would hate to get all prepared for all this global warming and, you know, I've got all my sunscreen and short sleeve shirts and then the big freeze hits. I think it would be much, much to the chagrin of the politicians if that happened. I think it's also important to point this out, that there is zero evidence, actual data, that humans are causing either global warming or global cooling. Now, when I say that, memories flash into your head of what you saw in the movie. And you're saying, well, that's not true. I saw the chart. Al showed us the chart. Those are charts generated by computer modeling. And that's guesswork. It does not match the actual climatological data being gathered all over the world, and it has been gathered now for the last 128 years. So it doesn't match that. But having said that, that doesn't mean, for instance, that we ought to be belching CO2 into the air in exorbitant amounts, because that's not healthy for us. So I'm not against cleaning up the planet. I'm just saying that these guys are talking about spending trillions of dollars and euros. And they're talking about doing this to reverse global warming. First to stop it and then to reverse it. Well, you can't. If it's happening, you can't. But look, in the mid-Cretaceous period, CO2 levels were as much as 4 times higher than they are now, and there was no human industry on the planet at that time. How did the CO2 levels get that high? Well, explain it. I would love to hear the explanation. At that time, there were far more forests than there are now. The Sahara was a rainforest. It's a desert today. There were far more forests than there are today. And, of course, plants absorb CO2. So with far more forests, how did they have 4 times more CO2? I mean, I don't understand how that could happen, but one thing I do understand is there was no human industry on the planet at that time. Now, with all of this human industry pumping all that CO2 into the air, and I don't think that's healthy for us, I would love to see a world that runs on clean energy. It's not healthy for us. We would live longer. We would be healthier if we weren't pumping all those chemicals into the air. I agree with that. But with all of that human industry pumping all that CO2 into the air, we are still 4 times below the CO2 levels during the mid-Cretaceous period. And that's a period of time when they talk about the Earth being pristine. That's a time when they talk about the Earth being so natural and beautiful. But the CO2 levels were 4 times what they are today. So I don't buy the idea that we are causing global warming. And I'll tell you, once you extract trillions of dollars and trillions of euros and yen from the people and tell them you're going to combat global warming, if global warming is real, which the data says it's not, but if global warming is real, you're not going to stop it. And when you spend all those trillions and don't get it stopped, what do you think is going to happen to the structure of society and government? There will be massive governmental upheavals all over the planet if that were to happen. Now, if you do the same thing with global cooling, and you say we're going to stop the oncoming ice age, we're causing it and we're going to stop it, and you don't stop it, you get the same results. I don't think we humans are causing much of anything. I really don't. You consider this. If the Earth has a will, and some people believe it does, I don't know, but if the Earth has a will and it wills to get rid of the human race, it can do it in one day. One day. All it has to do is shimmer and shake and crack open and let the fires of hell belch right out onto the surface. Let the waters of the deep break out onto the surface. All it has to do is decide it doesn't want us. And we're gone, just like that. So how can we think that what we are doing is having this effect upon something that can kill all 6.5 billion of us overnight? I mean, to me, that's sort of like saying, here's an atomic nuclear missile, and here's a guy with a pea shooter. And we're going to take away all the pea shooters so that missile will never go off. Well, the pea shooter doesn't have the capability of setting that missile off. That missile, however, has the capability of killing everybody with a pea shooter. You get the picture? And so I look at the earth and the climate and the changes that are taking place. I look at all of that as being way too massive for us to have much effect on it. I really don't think we're having much effect on it. I think we may be adding a very, very, very small percentage to the CO2 content in the air. But as the CO2 levels are rising, is anybody noticing that volcanic activity in the oceans rises first? I'd like to hear what you think about this. I know some of you are just boiling mad at what I've said. You are upset with what I've said. Where else could you express yourself openly and freely like you can here? No profanity. But you can say, you can oppose everything I've just said. But I'm just asking the questions. And maybe you've got reasonable answers for these. Maybe I'm missing something, and you could point me in the right direction. I'm serious about this. 602-539-9580, 602-539-9580, or you can send me a flash message if you live outside of the United States, if you live outside of Canada. If you live in Canada or the USA, you need to call that telephone number, 602-539-9580. If you live outside of the USA and Canada, you can call that number, but it's not toll-free. So we allow you to send us a flash message. All right? The flash message is simply, you just go to my website, and you will see on the website, you will see a link that says flash message. Just scroll down, you'll see it. You click that and you type your question or comment. I would be glad to hear it. I'd like to know from some of our listeners in Australia, what are you experiencing there? Are your summers getting hotter? Is your year, even your winter, is warmer than it used to be? Or is it about the same, or is it cooling off? The data shows that things are a little bit cooler in the southern hemisphere. And Australia is in the southern hemisphere. So send me a flash message, or you can call me, 602-539-9580. But I think that this is a major, major situation. Let's think about what this is going to cost in terms of what you're going to miss. If trillions of dollars are spent chasing global warming or chasing the next ice age, if that happens, do you realize it could mean the end of space exploration? Now, you might say, so what? Well, space exploration, almost all of the modern gadgets that we use are in some way a derivative of technology that was developed for space travel. Your microwave that you use, that you cook your dinners with, your microwave was developed first for NASA. Believe it or not, way back, a long time ago, back when I was in high school, and we were still riding our dinosaurs to school, a team of people, astronauts and scientists, went around to the high schools, as they do today, representing NASA, and they showed us some of the wonderful things that had been developed for space flight. And they showed us this amazing new thing. And you could put a cup of water in there, and they showed us in just less than a couple of minutes, and the water was boiling. Well, you know, at home, we didn't have that. At home, we had stoves, and you put water in a pan, and you heat it on the stove, and that's how you made hot water. They just put it in this box thing. Well, that box thing was a microwave. So you're using a microwave in your home now, and you think, what does NASA ever do for me? Every single time you use your microwave, you use something NASA had developed for spaceflight. A whole lot of the meals that you purchase now are ready to eat. You just put them into the microwave in a few minutes, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, it's ready. And that method of packaging, that method of preparing those meals where they're really already cooked, you just have to heat them up. NASA. And we can go right down the line, much of the gadgetry that we use in everyday life was developed for spaceflight. It's a derivative of what was developed for spaceflight. Trillions upon trillions of dollars being spent chasing global warming. Trillions upon trillions of euros being spent on chasing global warming. Or, if they switch and go with the other side, chasing solutions to the coming ice age, could mean the end of that sort of technological development. It really could. It could bring technological progress to a screeching halt. Now, it may not. I'm not sounding the alarm and saying that we have to put a stop to all of this. You know, they're going to spend. You're not going to put a stop to government spending money. You're simply not. You know that. You're not going to put a stop to it. You're not even going to control it. However, we might could influence the direction it gets spent. And I think we have to think about whether the data supports global warming or a coming ice age. It seems clear to me that from the telephone call count that you simply don't care. You really don't. And I would say that if you don't care, then your money should be spent, and it should be spent foolishly so that you can enjoy the direction that we've taken. We'll be back right after this. Back. My guest is Dick Criswell. I apologize for that, folks. Those were supposed to have been cleaned out. That's last night's show, the replay of Dick Criswell. I do apologize. Those were supposed to have been cleaned out of the software today, and it didn't get done. So I will tend to it myself tonight. All right. We are... No. We are not talking about climate change. I am talking about climate change. You do not care, apparently. Now, some of you are thinking, well, now, wait a minute. That's not fair. I care about this. Do you care enough to join the debate? Do you care enough to share your thoughts with us? Someone here does, and that's good. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. My name's Larry, and I'm from Manteno, Illinois.
Hi, Larry. Are you a first-time caller?
Yeah.
All right. Let me give you some applause. We're glad to have you, Larry. What's on your mind?
Thanks. Well, I'm just listening here. I missed the first half hour, but I'm just wondering if how chemtrails fit in the equation here, because it seems to be more of a northern hemisphere phenomena rather than southern, and I know it's going on all the time. I see it right from my window every day, almost.
Yeah, you know, I hadn't thought about the fact that it is apparently a northern hemisphere phenomenon as opposed to worldwide. But you're right. And I'll tell you something. It's happening not just in the United States. It's happening in Canada. It's happening in Europe. You know, I don't know how that fits in. How do you think it fits in?
Well, I've been out here on clear days, and they'll start in the morning, and by late afternoon, they've pretty well blacked out 90% of the sun. It's like turning a beautiful day into a cloudy day. And I've counted 200-300 or more. I mean, sometimes it's really bad.
Well, Larry, what do you think they are? I mean, we all see them. I see them out here in the Phoenix, Arizona area frequently.
I mean, not being a scientist, but I mean, I do my research on the internet, and I mean, there's tons of people talking about it. They're still claiming they've analyzed it. There's supposedly aluminum, barium in it, and who knows what other, and you know, what's it doing? What's its purpose?
Yeah, see, that's the mystery.
Like it's a secret. Right.
That's the mystery, is what's the purpose of it? What do you think the purpose is?
Well, I think it's government. I mean, obviously, different governments are doing it. Germany, from what I heard, they were the first government to acknowledge that they were doing it. And every other country has denied it. And it's probably the claims are it's weather modification, maybe used for military, might be used for something for HAARP to utilize their efficiency. I mean, they say there's cancer causing stuff in it. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff out there on that.
Yeah. Well, I know it's a big mystery. Whether chemtrails are out there or not is not a mystery. We all see them. What they are and what their purpose is a mystery. I really don't know. I've looked into it. I've done some shows about it. And no one seems to really have a grip on what's the purpose.
Supposedly they've been doing it since 1996.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Larry, how long have you been listening to the Kevin Smith Show?
I think, I joined. I'm one of your, I took out a membership, so I really love your show. I try and listen to it every night, and I'd say almost a year now, maybe.
Outstanding.
9 months.
How did you hear about the show?
I don't remember. So I just, somehow I found it, and I listened to it, and I said, I like it. So
well, that's a good thing.
Tell everybody about it.
That's a good thing. Yeah, keep telling everybody about it. Larry, thanks for the call, man.
Okay.
All right. 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. And That's an interesting perspective. Maybe chemtrails play a role in this. I don't know. I have no idea about that. All right, let's go back to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Kevin from Northern Alberta calling tonight.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey. I think this is just another bureaucratic money grab. They're running out of good money from us. I think this global warming is going to be business.
Well, it is big business.
Sure, sure. Robert Felix claims that we're going into an ice age. No, his book, Not by Fire, by Ice?
Yeah.
That's an interesting perspective. What he's claiming is that the ice fields aren't shrinking, they're actually growing. So, I don't know. On one side you have Al Gore screaming this way, and then the other side saying, no, it's going this way. So, where's the truth lay?
Yeah, I think from the financial point of view, we, the public, are going to be skinned one way or the other. But if they're going to extract this money, which they are, I think we should insist that it go in the right direction. I don't want to be issued T-shirts and sunscreen if, in fact, what I need is a parka.
Yeah, I agree. Vice versa.
Yeah, and vice versa. And so, you know, I've tried to have scientists on this show talk about this, but I have to be honest about this. I have not yet had a scientist come on here and talk about it that did not have a political agenda that showed up at some point during the show. And that's unfortunate. That is extremely unfortunate. You know, I don't give a spit in the tornado about someone's political agenda. What I want to know is, what does the scientific data actually say? And, you know, if it definitely says we're headed for global warming, then fine, let's get on with this. And if it definitely says we're headed for an ice age, then let's get on with this. And if it says we don't know which way we're going, if the data actually is confused itself, then why spend the money?
No, I agree. Why get twisted up in it if we're not straight as to what direction we should be going in? But does Hoagland say that the other planets in our solar system are heating up?
Yes.
Any idea what might be causing that? Is that a sun issue, or is that something beyond our...
Well, there's a lot of different speculations about that. It would be difficult to say it's a sun issue when the sun has basically decided to take a nap. The sun is very docile right now. And if it's being caused by the sun, we should not be seeing global warming anywhere because the sun has gone to sleep. And so that's why I say I think there's something that's exerting a tremendous amount of pressure on our entire solar system, even our sun, and maybe the reason the sun is doing exactly the opposite of what it was predicted to do.
Yeah, good point. Dark matter or something beyond the spectrum of our knowledge at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of people, when I say that, immediately think I'm talking about Planet X or Nibiru. That could be it, but it could also be just the fact that some other galaxy is getting close to, in astronomical terms, close to the Milky Way, and we're feeling some of the effects of that. That doesn't mean that we're in danger of imminent collision with another galaxy. But, I mean, you know, a galaxy has forces that are beyond our measurements. And they don't have to get really close for the forces from one galaxy to interfere with the forces of another. So there could be some of that. Something is happening to the entire solar system. Something's causing it, and I don't have any idea really what it is.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, then.
Thanks for the call.
Okay, bye.
All right, folks. Now, see, there are people who hear that and they say, well, that's the first time I've ever heard of that. Okay, well, there was a time before you guys ever kissed a girl. You learned how to do that. Girls, there was a time before you ever kissed a guy. You learned how to do that. So just because you never heard of that before doesn't have any validity as to whether that's true or not. The solar system is acting up. It's showing signs of tremendous stress. Ah, okay. All right. 602-539-9580. I think that, you know, we're in this pendulum swing. And I think when you add to that the fact that you understand, the sun is moving through our galaxy, right? And we're moving around the sun, and it's pulling us with it as it moves through the galaxy. But as it moves through our galaxy, it bobs up and down, okay? And we are coming up. There's the equator of the galaxy. We're coming up toward the equator of our galaxy at the moment. And around 2012, we will pass through it. It could be that that is what is causing the problem, or the problems. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
How you doing, Kevin?
Good.
Paul from New York.
Paul, how are you doing?
How you doing? Belated Happy Thanksgiving, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Same to you.
On this issue, you know, I really could not care less one way or the other. It's something that I don't worry about, and it's something I don't think about. I mean, my parents have had a place in Florida, and I've been going to Florida from New York back and forth since the early 80s. And one thing I have noticed in Florida, now when we go down there, the temperatures have gotten colder, not warmer.
Mm.
I mean, there were times when I would go down, you know, with my parents, and it would be 80 degrees in January or 80 degrees in February, and now you wake up, you go down there, you wake up in the morning, and it's, you know, 40 degrees, 35 degrees.
Paul, you want to hang on through the break?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back. We're talking this evening about this big debate, as I said, that blows hot and cold. Paul from New York, you were saying that when you go to Florida now in January, the mornings are like 40 degrees and they used to be 80.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And even the orange crop growers have had such devastation over the past 10 years because of the colder weather, where going back, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you know, it was unheard of to have as many cold frosts, you know, down that far as they're having now. So, you know, I personally just think, you know, this has happened before, and, you know, we've had these climate changes on the Earth. Scientists have proved that. It's affecting other planets, and, you know, this is my own personal belief, but I believe it's the effects of Nibiru, as it, you know, comes around and comes into our part of the solar system, and it affects not only our planet but the other planets, and it's going to continue to do so. And when it happens, it happens. But I don't believe that we're doing anything. I mean, I totally agree with you. I don't believe we're doing anything, you know, that's going that's causing this global warming, like Al Gore is insinuating. I mean,
and to be fair now, he's not the only one. He's sort of the front bumper. He's the face on the front of the movement. And but I mean, there's a whole bunch of scientists that have relied on this computer modeling, and their modeling says that we should be seeing temperatures rising dramatically. And so it's not a case of Al Gore lying. It's a case of Al Gore representing data that is not actual data, but computer modeled data. And it's not a case of him lying, and I don't think I ever have said that I thought he was lying. I don't think that's the case. I think that the models are wrong, and I think the actual data from the thermometers around the world shows that it's wrong. Paul, I got to run. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right. Want to get to some flash messages that have come in. This one from the United Kingdom, from Stephen. It says, I don't wish to sound as if I'm passing off environmental responsibility, but with all the evidence of other planets experiencing similar changes, I personally think, with historic records in mind, that what we are experiencing is part of a natural cycle of our sun. I agree we may be poisoning ourselves, but I highly disagree that we are the cause of either global warming or cooling, whichever it may be. All right, that's from Stephen, listening in the United Kingdom. From Andrew, down in Australia, he says, yes, the global warming con has been exposed. Now it is climate change, where we breathe out too much CO2, farm animals make too much methane, and all that's polluting the atmosphere, etc. Global warming in Oz? Don't think so. I'm seeing cooling. It just snowed on the Alps here. We've been having British weather with rain, and more damn rain. Then we have planes spraying who knows what in the atmosphere. So what gives? Is this the period of elite insanity where lies are the norm? Yeah. One word to those in charge. Give me a break. You're not convincing me or any others at all. Wake up and get on with evolution. We have hidden technology to rid the world of much pollution. So on one hand, they blame us for making pollution, but they hold the vault of new information and technology to solve some of the problems. So who are the ones to blame? Cheers, Andrew. Interesting. Interesting observations. I think you can see that, you know, people have different views. Although nobody has called in tonight in support of the idea of global warming, and that surprises me. It absolutely surprises me. I thought we would have at least one or two, but we have not. We have Anthony in the Netherlands, who has written that trillions of dollars for their black budget projects because there are no solutions to take. There is no global warming. They use all these trillions for building their new world on Mars. That's what I think. They have their cities with everything for their families, their children, and clean water and air and food, while they poison each and every one here on Earth. They have their UFOs, right? So they are able to travel very fast to Mars without anyone seeing it. Great show. Thank you, Anthony, in the Netherlands. And let's see, James from the United Kingdom says, good evening, Kevin. I haven't been around too long, but even in my lifetime, I've noticed a variation in the weather in the south of France from about 1992 to 2002. Spring was damp and warm. Summer was very dry and hot, usually without a cloud in the sky. Then in autumn, there would be extremely heavy rain to the point of flooding for 2 weeks. After that, it would get cold for winter. In the last few years, the weather down there has been very erratic and unpredictable. For example, last year, most of the year was spoiled with rain in a consistent manner, which isn't normal. To me, this suggests that rain distribution is being changed over the globe. I realize this can be a natural part of development of our planet, but it's happening very quickly, which is cause for concern. I think it's important to find the right root of the problem before fixing it. That's just my experience. And that's James from the United Kingdom. So I was saying that I've been a little bit surprised this evening that we haven't had calls from people who support the idea or believe the theory of global warming, because I know you're there. And I look, if you think that when you call, I'm going to attack you, you're wrong. When I say I'm looking at data here, I'm looking at reports here, and they're contradicting each other, and all these guys have PhDs, and I want to know which one is right, and I'd like your input. I'd like to hear what you think. When you hear me say that, there's no hidden agenda, and those who listen to this show each and every night know that. But if you're new, you didn't know that. When you call and you say, well, I think global warming is real, I'm going to say, as I said to people who said they don't think it's real, why? Why do you think it's real? And just as I said to people who don't think it's real, why? Well, what do you think is up? What do you think is causing this? I hope that from our discussion tonight, I hope that minds have been opened to the fact that we're not being given the facts. That's the important thing. We need the facts. We need to know what is really up. We're not being given that. We're being given the political agendas from both sides of the argument. We don't need the political agendas. We need the facts. It's been a pleasure to be with you all week, and I look forward to being with you again next week. And in the meantime, be sure you get over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and subscribe to our free weekly newsletter. Also, join our members area. It costs you 23 cents a day. I know, it's expensive. All right, my friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.